Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. There's stages to relationships, right? We all agree with that. There's different stages to different relationships. And I think we know what stage the Packers and Aaron Rodgers are in. Right? It feels like they're in the stage of, this thing feels like it's over, and now let's pick out all the, let's go back and put the blame game as to why the relationship is over. Meanwhile, the Packers are like, yeah, we don't necessarily want it to be over because we still have a chance to win a championship. And that becomes the kids, if you will, right? That's the, we don't want to break up for the kids right now. That's where they are. We could make it out to be about a million other things, but it's not. It is simply about one thing. And for the Packers, it's they're not trading him. And for Aaron Rodgers, you didn't hear me before. Like, he's been asking to be traded previously. That's why it got out on draft day. And then ever since then, it's been, all right, let's make it about Brian Gutekunst, who the latest report is Aaron Rodgers called him Jerry Krause on a group chat with some teammates. Now, by the way, if Aaron Rodgers didn't want that out or didn't think it was funny, he would have shut that down already. That's not true. That wasn't what he meant. There'd be a, but that being out there tells you all you need to know. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Bob McGinn used to write for, the Milwaukee paper, Journal Sentinel. Now he writes for The Athletic. According to sources, Rodgers is mocked in a constant group chat with teammates, referring to him as Jerry Krause. Mike Garofolo from the NFL Network reports that Aaron Rodgers warned prospective free agents he doesn't expect it to be in Green Bay in 2021. And by the way, if Aaron Rodgers were to retire, he'd have to repay potentially $44.5 million in forfeited salaries and bonuses. What will he do? Here's Brett Favre on Aaron Rodgers on Favre's podcast.
And knowing Aaron, and I think I know him fairly well, if he has a grudge, whether it be against the organization or a player, or an arch rival, or family, friends, he ain't budging. I don't see him coming back and saying, if this is not resolved, however, whatever the issue is, if it's not resolved, or if, even if it's resolved, but he feels like they got one up on him, he ain't gonna play. Knowing Aaron, he would sit.
I tend to agree that if you know Aaron, he's a pretty cut and dry dude, and you're either in or out of the circle of trust. But the idea that he would summarily retire, I don't know if I see it. I don't know if I feel it as a reality, right? I just don't. I don't know if that becomes the actual reality to it. Because everybody says, yeah, hey, I'm out. I want to retire. And then you start to go, all right, well, let's what does that look like to you? You know, does it look like giving back $44 million? Because you can tell me all you want about, hey, you know, we've done all we can do, and I want to shut it down, and I don't want to play here anymore. Like, all right, do you want to do that to the tune of the money that we're talking here? You know, we're talking some huge money. It's not $5 million. And look, the Packers may not want to recoup all of it, but they'll want to get some of it back. It's not easy to get back, but it could turn ugly in a heartbeat, especially if you retire before it's your time to retire. Like, I don't think I think it's a big part of it. And the other part that's really interesting is how much that we kind of, you know, blow off a lot of this different stuff of contracts and where they are, and the Packers have been here before, and how they just operated standard operating procedure. We're not freaking out. We're going to fix our football team. I don't, you know, I've had enough people tell me they didn't like the cornerback they took out of Georgia, but I also understand that if you look at every one of their draft picks, everyone was taken for a reason. And the one reason was to fix the team. That's it. To fix the team, to fix the school. I mean, to fix the team, to fix the line, to fix the defensive backfield. That's why everything took place. And I think it's really interesting if for some reason Rodgers thinks I'm just going to sit out and force my hand. They've already been approached with trade offers. They haven't been willing to grant them. And that's why we've gotten away from the trade thing. And now you're trying to make it just super ugly and make it untenable where they have to get rid of Brian Gutekunst. And I don't know if they do. I don't know if they do. I mean, everybody I've talked to said you process it. You say, yep, 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 hear ya, yep, got it. And then you're going to go do your own thing anyway. That's what they literally all say. Gavin, what do you think?
Does this have any effect, or I should say, do you think Tom Brady had any effect on this? Did he look at what he did and what the organization did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the Tom Brady thing, I think it's one of the things that set Russell off was that Tom Brady had on his team had Antonio Brown, who wanted to play with the Seahawks if he didn't play with Tampa. And I'm sure, you know, Aaron Rodgers looks at Tom Brady and how quickly he assimilated to a different system and made it his own and thinks, well, I could do that. I'm a better player. I'm younger. I'm in better shape. Like, why not? Yes, I absolutely positively believe that played at least some form of factor with it.
I guess my other question would be, like, how will this affect the season if he does end up having to play out the season in the same kind of situation that Jordan did, right, under Krause? Like, how does it go if they don't start out great? If things, does it affect the locker room? I mean, it's weird to have
everything affects the locker room, though, right? Like, if you don't pay him his money, you could affect the locker room. On the other hand, if you pay him his money, you can affect it, you can affect the locker room as well. That's I think one of the hardest parts is if you don't pay him, then people are like, yo, they don't even pay you. But if you do pay him, you're like, wait, we're going to pay a guy who quit on us when we were in the NFC Championship game. He's our quarterback. And we're paying him. We paid him at the top of the league when he signed his deal. It is a damned if you do and damned if you don't scenario. If you're the football team as well, not just the player, not just the quarterback. I don't think they trade him. I just think the louder the noise grows, the more guys in organization go, yeah, we're not doing that. He's just trying to win the media. And this is the third quarterback, who's asked on some level to be traded. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson. The previous two were not dealt. Yes, Ramos.
Talked about him talking to some of his teammates on his team and letting them know that he doesn't want to play or whatever the actual verbatim what he said about. I know all the players stick together, right? They're in a union. They pretty much want guys to make a lot of money, so they can. But I'm sure deep down, they're not happy by that, right? I mean, they want Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback, and I'm sure they must say something to him like, hey, you know, we understand where you're coming from, but, like, what does that leave us if you decide to take off? You know, they can't be totally excited by this news coming to them from him, would you say, or would you say they would be? Not excited, but that it's okay with them. It's hard to think they'd be okay.
I don't know. I'm with you. Like, why are you going? You have a year or 2 years left. We're really close. Why are you going to bail on us now? And his thing was, you know, they don't listen to me. They don't give a darn about me, etc. But I mean, it's like, okay, you want to go to San Francisco? Like, look, San Francisco traded for Jimmy Garoppolo, and then they basically bailed on Jimmy Garoppolo already after he led him to a Super Bowl when he was healthy.
Yes. So, but it's also like, look at how Jimmy's reacted in the media since then. He's been totally classy about it and is welcoming the competition. And Aaron is, I mean, ever since, what were they never supposed to draft a quarterback? You're 36 years old at the time. Like,
the whole thing's stupid.
It's ridiculous.
When you're 58, we'll draft a quarterback.
They're like, well, yeah, you traded up to get him. Like, well, you wouldn't have gotten him unless you traded up. So, you know, and it wasn't like it cost you another first round pick. And based on, if you have Aaron Rodgers, you're not going to be drafting in the top 10 of the draft. So, I'm with you. Like, the whole thing made sense, except apparently to Aaron Rodgers.
Well, with the Davante Adams tweet yesterday, I don't know if you guys got into that or not. Yeah.
We didn't get into it that much, but yes, refresh us, Deb.
His tweet was, gotta appreciate what you got while you got it, and then Aaron Rodgers liked it. So obviously there's a lot of psychological reading into all of this stuff, but it feels like at least Davante Adams has his back, so one would presume that a lot of the players probably do. And also, I think a lot of people presume that, you know, probably wouldn't have realized how many defensive players that they have drafted over the years instead of giving him any more weapons. I mean, obviously he's done very well with what he has, but I don't know. It feels to me like a marriage that should have gone to therapy a couple of years ago, right, and they've now just waited so long that it's just an ugly, bitter mess.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And now it's like all these other little things become big things,
yeah,
right? Which is what happens. And you remember that time 5 years ago when I wore those shoes and you didn't say anything about them? Like, the guy's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, you know those shoes? I don't know. I swear to God, I don't know what you're talking about. This is the problem. You don't even know what shoes I'm wearing.
You don't even notice.
You don't even notice. You don't pay attention to me.
There's a great scene in that Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Aniston movie. I can't remember the name of it, but the point is that Jennifer Aniston gets mad at him for not wanting to do the dishes.
And Vince, it's called The Breakup, like, wasn't it?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Great movie. He's like, why would I want to do the dishes? It's great.
Why would somebody want to do the dishes?
You do them.
Don't you want to do it to help me?
I don't mind doing the dishes, but like wanting to do the dishes.
That was the thing, is she goes, I want you to want to do the dishes. Like, sorry.
No, that ain't gonna happen.
I just want to play Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, I just want to play some little GTA and beat up somebody who's unsuspecting. Maybe with a bottle. I maybe run from the cops and light a car on fire. Like, is that so much to ask here on a Friday night? I just want to get away and become a thug on a video game. Anyway.
So now I feel like I want to have those maple bacon cupcakes and watch The Breakup.
Yes. Maple bacon donuts.
Donuts. That's right.
Donuts. I started watching a show called The Queen. Have you guys seen The Queen?
That's on my binge list. I have not yet.
I'm currently early binge stages. Very, very good. Deb, anything you want to share in terms of binges that you've had, recent binges you've had?
No, and I, because I'm blanking on the name. I have a neighbor who's a writer on a show, so I binge watched that, but more so I could say, hey, watched your show, and I'm now blanking on, I think it's called, Sweet Magnolias, I think is what it's called. It's one of those, it's a guilty pleasure kind of Netflix, like Hallmark-ish type show.
And Hallmark-ish, what do you mean?
You know, the Hallmark movie channel, but this is a series. So it's definitely geared toward women. A little soapy, very sweet, but yeah, pretty decent.
Okay.
But yeah, right. It's probably not something you would watch, though.
Why do you? Because it's once you said Hallmarky, you kind of lost me.
Yes, no, exactly. Exactly.
It's kind of Hallmarky, like.
Yeah.
I'm not totally feeling the Hallmarky thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you said it was, my daughter sold me on the originals. She, and this is like, I have two 15-year-old daughters. So one of them, the only way to get them to talk to you is about things that they like. So we started talking shows that she's binged, and she watched all of the Vampire Diaries.
Yes.
Okay. But then the originals apparently is like a prequel series to the Vampire Diaries.
Yes.
So we watched a couple of originals, and then she's telling me who these people are, but they're in different bodies. She's telling me all the rules of vampires. I'm like, well, how do they, if they can't procreate, how do they have all these kids? She's like, wait, hold on. Not everybody's a pure vampire. If you're not a pure vampire, if you're a witch, you can procreate.
Like, and the funny thing is, vampires thing, like, it's always was just, they can't be in the sun, right? That was the most generic of vampires. So now there's like all these other things they can and can't do, and it like it's expanding to this extension stuff that is just what?
No, they can't smell garlic.
Garlic is another,
and
can't
crosses
see,
obviously are a devastating thing for a vampire.
Can't see themselves in the mirror.
Yeah. Fortunately, I'm not in that stage yet. I'm in the 8-year-old stage. So as far as binge watching, we just watched The Descendants. So that's where we are in our binge watching the movies.
Well, you're out of the Caillou stage. That's
oh, thank God! Yes. Oh my gosh, Caillou. So whiny.
So whiny. Yeah, Deb, you start watching. Mike. Oh, here's a question for you, Ramos. Are all the vampire rules are they the same in every? Because there's so many different vampire shows.
I mean. I don't know. I just saw the vampire movies that I used to watch when I was younger. They always were the same. Like I said, you can't go out in the sun. And the garlic, you can't see them in mirrors. But now I don't know if they, I'm sure those still pertain, but I think there may be other ones that they can and can't. Because some vampires, now I've seen in some of these shows, they can be out in the sun. Like yeah, maybe they're Twilight, hybrid, are they're hybrids, right?
In,
or something like that?
Yeah, in Twilight, hybrids. They can be glittery. That's the difference.
What are the rules of vampires in Twilight, Gavin?
I honestly don't know. There was Team Edward, and there was
that's right.
He was the vampire.
Yes.
The other one was the Team Werewolf.
He was a wolf.
That's the one with what? Kristen Stewart.
Yes.
And, the English.
And the
guy
who's going to be Batman now. So.
Robert Pattinson.
Oh, he's Batman? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to be the new Batman.
He is the Batman. That's the name of that movie.
Who's directing that one?
That's a great question.
Well, because Christopher Nolan really like made the previous one, right? I mean, he was incredible. So I'm just wondering if it's somebody of that elk who's directing it or somebody else. I mean, that's who.
And it was supposed to be Ben Affleck directing the Batman movie, but he dropped out. So
somebody named Matt Reeves.
Yeah, and I looked him up. He did the Planet of the Apes movies, which I actually did enjoy.
Those were the newer ones.
Yeah.
Not the one with Mark Wahlberg, but.
How many different Planet of the Apes are there? Well, are the rules for the Planet of the Apes the same in all the different
movies? I think they are, right? The Mark Wahlberg had the twist at the end, which I won't say, but the other ones...
The real rule was that they didn't do the costumes anymore, and they went CGI.
Right.
That
they were actually chimpanzees and orangutans.
I still like the Charlton Heston.
Yes, I was going to say, I still take that one.
Yeah. There's a lot to it. I like the general premise of the Planet of the Apes. Now, is it all a dream? Or is it real? That's my thing. It's all a dream, right? That's the whole premise of the Planet of the Apes?
The new one or the Charlton Heston one?
Charlton Heston.
No, I thought that was the future.
That's the future?
Yeah.
Future, but a different planet?
No, it's still Earth.
That was the main twist at the end was, oh my gosh, we were on Earth the whole time.
The whole time.
Yeah. We were in New York.
Remember the Statue of Liberty was in the sand? And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really understand. I have to go back and watch. It's been a long time. For a long time. I obviously have binge time on my hands. All right, more binge watching discussions, vampire shows, and we'll find out what Deb Carson, if was she going to push the envelope of what is acceptable for 8-year-old for like 10, 11-year-old viewing. That's we'll get to that. But coming up next, a first round pick came on the show today and had some choice words for his critics. What are your thoughts on them? You'll find out when you hear him next. But first,
be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Alex Leatherwood was my guest. He's the number 17 pick of the NFL draft. People said they reached for him, reached for the need for the Raiders. Here's Leatherwood about his critics earlier today.
I kind of don't care. At the end of the day, those people don't know what they're talking about. You know what I mean? I feel like the GMs and the scouts, they're the ones who ultimately, like, watch the film and make that evaluation. And not only that, but, like, the people who are making these opinions, you know what I mean? Like, they don't really matter. Like, they don't make the pick. So I'm not really tripping, you know what I mean? And not only that, but I know my worth and my value as a player and what I have to offer in my potential and what I could do. So, I mean, of course, it puts like a little chip on my shoulder because it's like, I mean, damn, you know what I mean? A unanimous All-American, I won the Outland Trophy, you know what I mean? But clearly that's not good enough. But I'm not tripping because I know what I can do and I know what I'm going to do in my career. So I'm just super excited.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that's the right way to process it, right? You just have to go like, hey, the only thing that actually matters is, and this is big. This is really big. When you're being recruited in college, I tell players this all the time. Like, the guy who's recruiting you oftentimes is an assistant coach, and they hand you off to the head coach. But the head coach is the one that subs you in and subs you out. There's a couple exceptions to that. Sean Miller, when he was at Arizona, he had Joe Pasternak, who's now at UC Santa Barbara. When Joe was there, Joe actually did the substitution. They worked together before the game and maybe at halftime and talk about it, but Joe actually did the subbing. For the most part, the head coach is going to sub you in and sub you out. In this particular case, the general manager, it's not really Mike Mayock. Mayock is more director of player personnel, right? General manager in title. John Gruden is making these picks. So when your head coach makes these picks, your head coach is going to make sure that you're put in the best position to succeed because it makes him look like a genius. So I still think it's a good position for Leatherwood to be in, and I think he's processing it the right way.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's check in with Aaron Nagler, who joins us. Of course, he's the president and the co-founder of Cheesehead TV. Tough times in Cheesehead TV land. He's a great friend of ours and a friend of the show, and he joins us on Fox Sports Radio. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing well. I don't know if I would agree with the characterization of tough times. I mean, it's crazy and it's madness, but it's kind of fascinating to watch play out. There's no doubt
it is. It really, really is. Okay, so let's start with last Thursday. Did you know?
It feels like a year ago at this point.
It does. Did you know that that the trips had been made from front offices to California? Did you know that this thing had been going on for a while?
No, I had no kind of inkling about any of the activity, so to speak, around this kind of narrative and drama, but I certainly was aware of Aaron's unhappiness and his frustration. That, I don't think, has been much of a secret. I didn't realize, obviously, how dire the situation had gotten. Like you say, you know, flights being made to California by the president and CEO, Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, all taking their turn. That was a surprise, finding that out. But, yeah, no, the idea that Aaron has been unhappy and frustrated has been kind of growing for a while. So in that sense, that wasn't a surprise, but the way it went to DEFCON 5 suddenly on Thursday, that certainly caught me off guard.
Why do you think the story came out on Thursday?
I mean, I know there's already pushback now. We've seen a couple of stories today, and I'm sure, hell, while we're sitting here talking, there may be three more. Seems like every minute there's something else on Twitter. But, you know, I don't think it's any secret. Last year, Aaron, by his own admission, was a bit caught off guard that Thursday night when they took Jordan Love. We all know Aaron. We know how he holds a grudge. He's very famous for it, has that chip on his shoulder. I think he held on to that for a year. And then the day of the draft, he said, okay, Brian, now it's your turn. And, you know, I know they're going to deny it. I know we've got Pat McAfee out there saying that there's no way this came from Rodgers' camp. I have a real hard time believing that. I think this is very calculated by Rodgers and his team, David Dunn being his agent, who has been down this road before with Carson Palmer. They have a playbook, and they're using it. And hey, I'm not begrudging that. I understand this is coming from a place of frustration, but I do think that timing, that's not a coincidence, and that is very, you know, that is a very deliberate timing on their part.
Yeah, it felt like an FU for what happened last year.
Very much so. And I've seen people talking about, oh, it was calculated to try and get him, like, to force a trade. I don't think that's the case at all. I do think it's very much about last year you made me feel terrible on draft night. And now I am going to make you feel terrible, not only on draft night, but for the weeks and maybe months to come. You know, don't get it twisted. The animosity or the frustration, I think, is very real. And he has bit his tongue, obviously, for the last year or so. And I think the longer we don't hear from him, and that's the other thing, we haven't heard a word from Aaron Rodgers himself, you know, but the longer that he stays silent, the more the Packers have to twist in this. And I think he's enjoying that fact. That would be my guess anyway.
Any way they trade him?
I'd be absolutely shocked if it happened this year. I mean, you'd be a fool to completely dismiss it. I mean, to say, let's say they get down the road, right, and Aaron doesn't show up to camp, and he tries to, you know, just completely do the Carson Palmer and sit out. Jordan Love balls out early in the year, maybe, possibly before the trade deadline. I'd be shocked if anything happened this summer, this offseason. I think the Packers are going to dig in. I think Aaron's going to dig in. I have no doubt he doesn't show up to minicamp. I have no doubt there's a very good chance that he doesn't show up to start a training camp. Maybe he ends up showing up, you know, at some point at the end of camp, maybe pulls a Michael Strahan. But, yeah, no, I would be absolutely shocked if something happened this offseason.
Okay. The draft, it didn't feel like they made any sort of adjustments to their draft board based upon that news. Matter of fact, it felt like they did a pretty good job of helping themselves. I guess the one question, you know, the cornerback they took in the first round is one of those looks better, you know, in his shorts and a t-shirt than he does sometimes on a football field. But what's your take on the actual draft itself?
Yeah, I thought it's the first time in a while that it kind of really seemed like it was driven a little bit more by need than usual. I mean, we went into that draft talking about how the Packers definitely needed to address corner. They definitely needed to address the offensive line. Those are two things they did quite a bit. I think the one kind of area you maybe thought they'd look at is edge rusher, just because, you know, the way the contracts play out next year and going forward, you would think they would want to get another edge, a young guy to develop. But for the most part, I thought they had a really solid draft. And like I said, it was a little bit more driven by needs than maybe the Packers have been in the past. But, you know, it's a classic Packers draft in that it's very unspectacular. I think, obviously, Amari Rodgers is the one kind of big shiny new toy that you're going to have fun playing with on offense. And I do think they'll get a lot out of him right away. I think they'll get some instant returns there. But for the most part, you know, they do what they do. They find athletes with upside, and they plug them in, and some guys will help right away. Some guys will help down the line. But you're right. If the idea was to try and force them to change their approach to the draft, that's certainly – and I don't think that was the idea. But if it was, I mean, it certainly didn't work because, you know, Brian and the personnel people in Green Bay, they have a very, very methodical way of working, and it would take a lot more than that for them to change on a dime like that.
The latest story is that in a group text, Brady called Brian Jerry Krause, right? And of course, that reference would have gone over people's head if not for The Last Dance last year and Jerry Krause becoming the butt of so many jokes. Look, he very well respected scout who kind of is more scout than GM. But what is your feeling as somebody who knows the Packers intimately and everything they're doing? What's your take on the job that Brian Gutekunst has actually done?
I think he's done a very good job. And I understand, you see, here's the problem. It's like I completely understand Aaron's frustration. And I completely understand the disconnect there. And I do not doubt for a second that he has been, you know, maybe not completely talking behind Brian's back, but has certainly reached out to teammates and friends and said, gosh, I wish this guy would be more aggressive. I don't understand some of these moves we made. I mean, don't forget, this goes all the way back to Brian being the one who let Jordy Nelson go. You know, everyone knows how close Jordy and Aaron were, or still are. And ever since then, it's every little move, I think, has kind of irked Aaron. And the idea that then this guy who hasn't gone all in, they thought, you know, okay, we've moved on from Ted Thompson. It's time to get a little bit more aggressive. And now Brian has been pretty much the same. He had the 1 year a couple years ago where he stocked up on defense because they really needed the talent injection on that side of the ball. But for the most part, he has been very steady, much like Ted was. And I think that has been frustrating, especially in a modern era where we are driven by the 24-hour news cycle, especially coming off a year where we saw Tom Brady go to Tampa and really kind of get what he wants personnel-wise. You know, I don't doubt that that is frustrating for a guy in Aaron Rodgers who hasn't had a lot of support on the defensive side of the ball in the playoffs in the last, you know, decade or so. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that that is a real source of frustration. But on the flip side, I think Brian's done a really good job. But as far as collecting talent, there's a really talented football team. And I don't doubt for a second that his selection of Jordan Love was the tipping point here. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But he's a young GM. He's on a 5-year contract. He's entering year 4. He wants to get that extension, and he wants his quarterback. You know, Ron Wolf had Brett. Ted had Aaron. Brian wants his guy. And I think there's no problem with that. That's literally your job as a GM. to look out for the future. So I understand both sides. I understand why Aaron's frustrated, but I think Brian's done a pretty darn good job so far.
Can you see a way in which the Packers move on or move Brian over in order to acquiesce to Rodgers' desires?
I mean, I'd be absolutely shocked, again, because you don't have to look much further than Mark Murphy, the president and CEO of the Packers, literally has given multiple, you know, stamps of approval, backing publicly of Brian and the job he's done just a couple weeks ago. We were on a call with Mark, and I literally asked him about the lack of activity in free agency and what did he think of that? Was he surprised by it? And he gave Brian a 100% endorsement, said, this is my guy. I believe in everything he's doing. And you have to think that's presumably while all this drama was happening behind the scenes that we didn't know about. I mean, for all we know, that might have been the day before Mark flew out to California to talk to Aaron. So it seems very, very, very unlikely that after being in Brian's corner publicly ever since, and don't forget, he's Mark's hand-picked guy to take over for Ted Thompson. He made that choice. So for him to then turn around and fire Brian because Aaron wants it, and we don't know. I know that's a report that's out there. Who knows the truth of that? It would be nice to hear from Aaron at some point to hear the truth of some of this stuff, but I can't imagine Mark's going to go and fire Brian Gutekunst for any reason, let alone because his quarterback's unhappy.
Okay, so what happens next?
That's the billion-dollar question, isn't it? I think this plays out all summer. It's going to be annoying to everybody. We're going to hear, you know, rumors and reports, and there'll be lots of back and forth in the media. We've already seen that starting. I think he misses minicamp. I think it gets down to training camp. I don't think he reports to camp, and I think there's going to be a lot of drama around that. We're going to have Jordan Love as your starter. I got to think, though, and this is just, you know, this is probably the homer in me, the fan in me coming out, but I can't imagine a guy as competitive as Aaron Rodgers sitting there and watching all these guys come back. The Packers brought back basically their entire squad from last year, who was on the doorstep of the Super Bowl. They've added some good pieces in the draft. That Aaron's going to sit there and go, nope, I'm not playing. I just can't fathom that. He's got a really good chance of making another Super Bowl run. It boggles my mind, the idea of him just refusing to come back. Now, maybe he does. We know, like I said before, Aaron's a very, very willful, very prideful. We've heard nothing but, you know, comments from friends and associates all week about how once he has his mind set, you know, there's no changing it. And I don't doubt that that's where his headspace is at right now. But again, it's August. Those guys are out there practicing. They got this squad that's ready-made to make a run built around him. I just think he's too much of a competitor to leave, to just completely walk away from that. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he sits, and maybe he threatens, and he does retire, right? But even if he does that, he's got to pay the Packers close to $30 million to retire. And then even if he decides to come back, they still own his rights. So I just don't see a way out for him, you know, because I know, like I said, I can't believe they're going to, they wouldn't trade him this offseason. So I think it really sets up for last dance at Lambeau style in 2021.
That is kind of what it feels like. But again, even the last dance, I mean, maybe we're looking back, you know, 20 years later the wrong way, but the last dance, they feel like it could have been saved even after the dance was done. So we'll wait and see and find out. In the meantime, Aaron, thanks so much for giving us the total update on what's really going on. Love your perspective and love your guys' work at Cheesehead TV.
Thanks a lot for having me on, Doug.
All right, that's at Aaron Nagler. That's Nagler. You too can be a part of Cheesehead TV.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Tomorrow on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Brandon Weeden and my man Matt Money Smith. You want to know what's going on in the world of sports? Here's The Press with Deb Carson.
The Press.
Deb, your favorite non-alcoholic drink you go to that you sip on every day?
Non-alcoholic would be water with lime.
was
lime underrated?
Lime is underrated. Lime's underrated. Great in Diet Coke also, by the way. Yeah.
Lime's good at everything. By the way, today is Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
Roger.
Lime's
that.
Good with tacos.
Yes.
Tequila. And Mexican beer, cerveza.
You know what the main thing is?
Eat the main thing, the main thing. Get the limes first. Work backwards. Limes first.
Limes are underrated, though. And evidently, so is John Means, by the way. So here's the deal right now in Seattle. Lefty starter for Baltimore, John Means, has a no-hitter now through eight. Okay, so he's three outs away from a no-hitter.
Zero.
It would have been a perfect game, but he lost the perfect game bottom of the third inning when Pedro Severino dropped a third strike. So Haggerty reached first on what they're calling a wild pitch. I've got to
come
see
on,
the
Pedro.
Video. Exactly. But nonetheless, the Orioles are up 6-0 over the Mariners. They are in the bottom of the eighth inning now. So again, three outs away. We will keep an eye on John Means. So that is number one in the press.
I screwed up.
Also, big news, of course, the Tokyo Olympics, we presume, is still happening. But whether or not it happens, and presuming it does happen, Black Lives Matter apparel will not be allowed to be worn this summer, and not specifically just Black Lives Matter, but evidently the International Olympic Committee took a survey and found that the majority of the 3,500 athletes surveyed were in favor of keeping the ban on protests and political messages in place.
Okay. Huh.
So.
Huh.
Exactly.
So the question becomes, what happens if an American athlete wins a gold medal and then raises a fist at the stand? Do they take away their medals the way they did to the two runners?
I can't imagine they would in this day and age. Obviously, that would throw a huge black cloud over the IOC. I think they're just trying to deter that from happening, but I can't imagine that they would take the medals away. Obviously, they have the power to, but what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, they set the clear precedent, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
That was decades ago, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously a different climate, too.
No question. Yeah, yes and no. I mean, yes and no. I mean, it was an era of protests as well.
Mm-hmm. But I think more of the mainstream people and media are in favor of the message that the protest is meant to convey, don't you think? Whereas I think it was a little more taboo back then, or at least in the mainstream media.
I wasn't old enough to know, but I thought it was an era of protest as well.
Yeah.
So not sure.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure.
All right.
I mean, like, look, I know it's an ancient precedent that we're setting. It's just, you know, that's kind of how the Olympics rolls. It's how a lot of ruling parties, like, this is what we've always done.
True. Well, moving on to the NFL, Jed York says he's comfortable if Trey Lance sits a couple of seasons behind Jimmy Garoppolo. He said they've talked about it internally. And if they're in a situation where Jimmy goes out and, quote, takes us to a Super Bowl again and has an MVP caliber season and does it again, there are worse dilemmas to be in. And Jimmy certainly has the ability to do that, end quote.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers.
Yeah, he was not a closer in the Super Bowl, that's for sure.
Or was it?
No.
It's the best way to look at it, right? It's like, look, if we have a Super Bowl quarterback for a second time and a star rookie quarterback who everybody wants and he develops for a year, there are worse things there are worse dilemmas to have. Only way to look at it. Instead of giving away for pennies on the dollar.
That is true. And The Athletic, by the way, is taking the slant that the format of the play-in tournament in the NBA is working spectacularly well, has no downside. Teams 4 Yay. Through 6 are in the range of fighting to hold their position. Clubs 9 through 12 are trying to win games rather than pivot to tanking, which is what they would normally be doing.
So, I completely agree with that. Completely. The basketball is a lot more competitive, and people are a lot more bitter after losing a game, and the and that is the reason why. Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
It's Doug Gottlieb show here on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, no, I mean, if you watched NBA games here the last couple weeks and, you know, the bitterness for some of these teams that were locked in over the play-in game, you're like, that's the whole reason that they're having it. All right. Brandon Weeden and Matt Money Smith tomorrow. This is the Doug Gottlieb show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.